Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast, coming to you from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri, and so ready to get back into the wonderful book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. We have come in our studies today, and we will begin with Revelation chapter 7. Now, if you have not been with us, we actually began this study on July 16. So you can go on our radio archives, just go at billybrim.org, billybrim.org, and there on the webpage, you will see our radio archives. We began the study of the book of Revelation on July 16. But today, here we are, August 27, a little more than a month later, and we are down to chapter 7. Dr. Hilton Sutton writes in his book, Revelation of the Book of Revelation, Revelation 7 interrupts the story of the events taking place on earth to inform us of God's activities. Contrary to what some people think, God does not turn the 7 years over to Satan and the Antichrist. During this time, God performs in all his greatness. Yes, during these 7 years of the tribulation time, Satan and the Antichrist are brought to a final judgment, and they do have activity upon the earth, which Revelation tells us about. But God is sovereign over all. The power of nothing is, but as he permits it to be. Not that he orders it, the evil, any of the things, but the evil draws upon itself a judgment. He allows that judgment to take place and earth to be cleansed. Here we are at Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. I'm reading from the American Standard. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that no wind should blow on the earth or on the sea or upon any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the sun rising, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a great voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God upon their foreheads. The winds, the four winds, are the various influences which from the outside affect earth. They are surely not divine influences, or they would not need to be restrained. The power of the enemy wants to work through them, for Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. But God is above all, and nothing is but as it is permitted to be. Now, it's interesting to note that the word wind in the Old Testament is the same word as the word ruach, the Hebrew word, can be translated wind, it can be translated spirit, it can be translated breath. So the four winds that have to be restrained are definitely under the influence of Satan and evil spirits. And they want, if they're not held back, if Satan were not held back right now, he'd destroy everything on the earth. But God sends an angel, and he comes from the sun rising, which is the east, the place of the rising of the sun. And he comes and says, nothing can be hurt until the servants of our God, the servants of our God, are sealed, marked with a seal on their foreheads in a very prominent place. Now, the servants of God are those who have been given a task to perform. Any servant is given a task by an overlord, his master, his boss, and he is given a task to perform. So there are this group that's going to be sealed. The servants of our God are being sealed on their forehead. He has the seal of the living God in his hand. The judgment is in the hand of God, although the instruments may be working their own will. Dr. Hilton Sutton says in his book on Revelation, at the start of the tribulation, the church is caught up. God in his mercy creates a powerful vehicle to replace it in his servitude. A job has been given to these people to do. And that group is a group of 144,000 Jews whom Hilton Sutton calls evangelists. Evangelists have a message, an evangel. They give a message. So these 144,000 Jews who are to be sealed have a ministry to perform for God. At the beginning of the tribulation period, God has given Israel a great victory over Russia and its allies, the first one of which is mentioned as Persia or Iran. There are others in that group. It is in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Now, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, it describes a war which has not taken place yet. This is not the Battle of Armageddon. This is a war that takes place probably just before the rapture of the church, can be before, can be right after, but it has not happened yet. And in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, God speaks to an evil spirit. This evil spirit is named Gog. He calls Gog, G-O-G, Gog. In the heavenlies, Satan has a seat around earth, above the earth. He has a seat. It's called the seat of Satan. In Jesus' time, Revelation, we've already studied about it. It was at Pergamos. So in this war, if this is Satan himself, and I think perhaps it is, Gog will be operating down through Moscow. And it says in verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog. He's not against the Russian peoples at all. I am against you, this evil spirit who has worked down through Russia, like Daniel talked about the prince of Persia, an evil spirit that works down through Iran. He talked about the prince of Grecia. Actually, they have set up these evil governors, and they will all be coming down. They will be shaken, and the church will take their place and rule as overrulers. But during this war, the church is not, they are not yet shaken down, and God speaks to this evil spirit, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tobolsk, and he speaks of an army with allies, and the allies are Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, Eastern Europe, Togarma, Turkey. And so he tells them they're going to come down in verse 8, and they're going to be an allied army against Israel. Verse 8, after many days you shall be visited. In the end of days you shall come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have always been waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations. Now you shall ascend, verse 9, and come like a cloud. You shall come to take a spoil. Verse 16, we're in Ezekiel 38, verse 16. And you shall come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It's an air attack. It shall be in the end of days, I will bring you against my land. That, what a big word that is, that. It means in order that. God is behind bringing them down. He has gathered them to set a trap for them in order that the, verse 16, King James, heathen, there is no word in the in the Hebrew original for heathen. It's always the word goyim, nations, three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, we usually say Gentiles, and in the New Testament, a third group, the Church of the Living God. But in the Old Testament, it's just Israel and the nations. So he's saying, I will bring you against my land in the latter days that the nations may know me when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. When God brings about this great victory, he's going to use hailstones and earthquakes, and he's going to be recognized as the one who won this battle for Israel. And their God is known to be Jehovah. Verse 23. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am Jehovah." So many people on the earth are going to see that Jehovah is the real living God. And I believe that this is going to awaken the eyes of the Islamic world that Jehovah and not Allah is God. Verse 21 of chapter 39, "I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment that I have executed and my hand that I have laid upon them." And look at verse 22, "The house of Israel shall know that I am Jehovah their God from that day and forward." Folks, I was really surprised when I first went to Israel and found that there are many secular Jews who don't openly believe in God. I think if you scratch them all, they will down deep, and they will know God, that God is real. But from this day, the day of this battle, "The house of Israel shall know that I am Jehovah their God from that day forward." Israel, at this war, the Jews, the Israelis particularly, will see what God has done, and they will recognize Jehovah is God. Verse 25, "Therefore saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and we will be jealous for my name." Again, he says in verse 28, "They shall know that I am Jehovah their God. The nations shall know." And so there is a revelation of God in Ezekiel 38 and 39. He has given them a great victory in one day. And this removes a temporary blindness from any Israelis' eyes in doubting God. And so the blindness, the temporary blindness, it's only partial, that Romans 11, 25 through 26 speaks of, in this day, eyes are opened. God's purposes are in that war in Ezekiel 38, 39. So somewhere near the beginning of the tribulation period, there has been this great victory. Could be the end just before it, could be just after it, but it is a great victory. And the church is caught up to heaven, and the 144,000 Jews who have seen that God is God, Jehovah is God, they are the ones that the angel is going to mark in their foreheads. So we'll get to them, the 144,000, tomorrow. Today, I would like to invite you to begin to listen to this series on July 17. And I want to tell you that we've had a great victory here at Prayer Mountain. We had great need of 58 acres that were for sale out here. For years, they divided our land, and the owner said that he didn't want to sell to us. But the Lord spoke to him, and he has sold to us, and today I'm going to sign for the new property, 58 acres that will increase us to 271 acres, and we can build our next cabin where we need to. If you'd like to give into this land project, please send in a radio offering today to Billy Brim, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. Thank you.